Maybe I can cut it out. If you hear a bunch of chewing, Mike Keller is eating some outstanding Chiefs puffs.
They're so good.
And I'm drinking
bacon
some coffee.
Bacon cheddar.
So
he brought me a bunch of packaged delicious vegan foods, which is a long time coming, and I appreciate very much.
I haven't been to the lair recently.
My nerd cave.
Things are different. It looks a little more homey. There's a plant that's barely alive.
My plant husbandry skills are not ideal, but I do have a couple watercolors on the wall.
Okay. Do you want to get to vegan hacks? I mean, it's time. We have some very serious news here. Very important things to talk about.
Lay it on me.
But before we
leader of this, the free world.
Before we do this, I need to know. You have a lot of karaoke skills.
No, poor karaoke skills.
That's not true. I've seen you like with like a live band.
Pitch all over the place.
I've seen you in person. Mm-hmm. Like you have like a certain
shamelessness.
Well, no, you have a strategy, a karaoke strategy.
Can you give me an analysis of my karaoke strategy?
I need to know that. I don't know. It's like, I need to know.
You did it with me, right? You've done karaoke.
No, I watched you do
karaoke. You didn't do it yourself?
I stayed away from the stage.
I would love to see you do karaoke.
I've done some songs, like I do like the songs about like, I love you making vegan bacon.
Well, yeah, those are fun.
I do that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's different. It's like in the privacy of my own home. I'm able to modify and plan it and make myself
look
as foolish or not as foolish
right.
as possible.
You're saying I have very little control over how I am perceived. But, you know, that's the freedom of having just let go. To be cringe is to be free.
I understand that. So when you are going to a karaoke place, now, do you have a specific song that you like to sing?
No, that's cowardly. I like to do a different one every time.
I don't believe you.
No, sometimes I'll repeat, sure. But like, let's say I do...
What is your top
karaoke song? If I do something twice,
yes.
Like, I move on. I can tell you in reverse order what songs I have sung.
Okay, tell me the songs you've sung karaoke.
Most recently, it was Hungry Like the Wolf. That was the live band karaoke. Before that...
Have you done that before?
That was like, I did it once maybe 6 years ago.
You practiced it.
No, 6 years ago. There was no practice.
Do you practice your moves?
No, my moves are just like me having like a seizure, like a, you know, an aneurysm on stage.
Okay, that's great.
Before that, I did I'm Just Ken from the Barbie movie. Could not have been a repeat. It was a new song. Before that, I think I did some Zach Bryan song. I change it every time. And I'm not good. I'll be the first to admit. I'm just having a fun time. And y'all can, you know, take it or leave it.
Now, when you go...
Why are we talking about this on Vegan Hacks? I feel as though I'm getting set up for something.
No,
like,
where is
this going?
Okay. So, do you, like, plan? Like, I'm going to karaoke. This is an important time.
No. Like, you know, I have some friends or something. And we're like, what do we do tonight? And then we just end up going to karaoke.
Do you ever go karaoke by yourself?
No, that would be kind of depressing.
Okay.
Though some of the karaoke places, you see some regulars who do go by themselves and you see them every time you are there as if to say, like, that's their thing. And they're there all the time.
Are they, like, really good?
Some are. There was, like, you know, there's that place called the Gaslight?
Yeah.
In Santa Monica? There's this guy.
Are you trying to gaslight me right now?
I couldn't if I... You gaslight me all the time. I don't think I have the mental fortitude to gaslight you back. There's this guy at the Gaslight I saw for years. Like, I'd go there, I'd see him there. Then, like, I wouldn't go for another 4 years. I'd come back, he's there. And he would always do this, like, break dancing routine during his song, which would culminate in a drop to the ground into a forward splits. Impressive. You have to admit.
But you knew it was coming.
Well, I knew it was coming because I had seen it before, but there are some people there who hadn't seen it, and they were odd.
Do you feel like the reason that they're odd at this type of performance is because they're fueled by alcohol?
Partially, yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I can't tell if you're like being snidely judgmental because I have no self-awareness. So, I just have to say, like...
No, I'm just curious about this type of thing that you do.
But all the time. First of all, it's not all the time. Like, it's maybe once every 6 months or something. Like, it's not that often.
I don't believe it.
It's really very rare.
I believe you do it much more often. I've seen the posts. Yeah, like every week you post and you're singing a new song.
You're gaslighting me. It's like 6 months apart. But no, but this has got to, like, I feel as though there's some design to this that I'm not yet getting, and you're going to lay it on me now. Like, you're sort of luring me into an ambush. So where is this going?
I'm playing the long game. It's kind of that thing where, you know, you continually
lull the victim into a sense of, like, oh, this is what you do when you, like, interrogate a suspect. You develop some rapport, get them talking about something, like, silly or non-threatening, and then you get them to talk about, like, their crimes or whatnot.
We haven't gotten to the intervention yet, Mike Keller.
Okay.
So, we had a kind of a time out. We had a special time out in the streets,
a fun
Mike
day
Keller.
At the vegan street fair where we had to dodge your adoring fans.
No. They were your adoring fans.
No, I have
fans.
Zero,
what are you talking about?
Zero
all your
fans.
Karaoke fans were there.
You're just, like, obfuscating the reality of the situation by making stuff up. You had a bunch of adoring fans.
I don't know how much they adored me.
Or okay, so maybe you had some haters. I don't know, whatever. Point is, I didn't have any fans, and no one was there from karaoke.
I can't tell whether or not they're fans or haters. No, most of them are nice.
Most of them are fans.
But what we did was we went to the vegan street fair in North Hollywood.
It was fun.
I had a certain plan about how things were going to go, and then everything, like, just went amok.
Why? Because there was rain?
Well, it was kind of the thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with Mike Keller. Maybe we can do a live recording. Oh, I'll get all my gear together. And then my family wanted to come along.
Nice.
So then my family, and I love it. It's great. I'm glad they're able to come and enjoy the vegan street fair. But then that kind of threw a monkey wrench
into
the situation.
It's nice to see your family.
Then you showed up, and then you brought a friend. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, oh, I guess we'll just...
We still could have done her live. It would have been okay.
Yeah, it's just... It's difficult when they, at those events.
You don't want to be like rude to like your friends and family that you're like doing this social media thing with them, like sort of milling around and shuffling their feet. Is that the idea?
I want to focus in on the time that I have with my family.
That's true.
And
that's true.
Experience.
Your daughter was very diplomatic. I asked her if dad is embarrassing, and she was like, oh, no, he's fine. That was very nice of her to say.
Maybe she thought it would get back to me.
Oh, I mean, I said it more or less in front of you.
Okay. I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm embarrassing to myself.
I embarrass myself all the time. And again, when you are like, you accept your own cringe, you are free.
The question is who's more cringe, me or you?
We both are cringe in very different ways, but I think we're both very high up there.
I'm cringe on a grander scale.
You're on a bigger like audience. Yes,
that's right.
I'm in a cringing in the shadows, cringing in obscurity.
You're cringe. You know what it is? You got this intense cringe. It's like an interpersonal cringe.
The cringe that burns brightest burns hottest.
I don't know. Let's get to vegan hacks now.
Oh,
we're going this.
This whole like blah blah we just had, does this have anything to do with anything, or is that going to make it into
podcast.
The podcast? Oh, okay.
People need to learn
about
our
eat this cheese ball that's
problem.
Been sitting between my index and thumb for the last 10 minutes,
okay.
Just taunting me.
Mike Keller's eating a cheese ball, but
it's
he's going to not chew it so loudly.
No, I'm intentionally chewing it loudly because I'm embracing the cringe.
Okay, let's talk about releasing the Kraken. So Revo Foods. I believe they're based in Spain.
Mm-hmm. They could be based in Greece where they eat a lot of octopus.
Well, in Europe they eat a lot of octopus.
Octopuses are very intelligent creatures.
Anyway, this is from Green Queen. The Kraken. Revo Food releases the world's first vegan octopus.
Can you show me what it looks like?
It looks like an octopus.
It looks real? It's crazy. I wonder if it tastes real. I mean, I've never tasted an octopus.
I mean, it's got that, it looks like...
Oh, wow. Those look like tentacles.
Yeah,
wow.
It's got suction cups.
Yeah, I mean, it basically, they just molded tentacles. Look,
they don't mold it. No, you know what they do? It's really interesting. What's happening, there's like a new technology where they're taking mycelium And I guess there's a
way... Having them grow into the shape of an octopus?
No, what it is the mycelium is in very thin threads. It's the same situation with the koji, prime roots, koji... Maybe it's a different formula, a different formation. They make these very thin threads of mycelium. Then they put them in a 3D printer.
Wow.
And just like, you know, how you those 3D printers mm-hmm. just move back and forth.
Now
and,
they and print create, tentacles.
They Revo Foods also does a 3D printed salmon. I think they're focused in on seafood.
Okay, that's wild.
Revo Food has today launched the world's first vegan octopus for retail. And it goes direct. It's in Europe, though.
How much does it cost in Europe?
It wasn't that expensive. I saw it was six euros.
Not bad. Not bad. I mean, everything in, like, say, Spain, if this is in Spain, like, prices are a little lower. Greece, prices are a little lower. Like, you couldn't price things the way you price things in a major city in America.
So Revo Food has today launched the world's first vegan octopus for retail using its patented 3D printing technology to transform fungi into a seafood analog beloved by many and one being increasingly unethically farmed.
Yeah, this only recently they started farming octopuses.
Mm-hmm.
Which
actually, wasn't there a recent I think Washington State said that they would not be able to farm octopus.
Great.
I've heard that octopus actually is an invasive species somewhere in California, and they're kind of like taking over like abalone fields and other. They're just like
how did they get there? Did someone flush an octopus?
Maybe they don't have no natural predators, perhaps, or they don't have
other than humans.
They're very intelligent.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If the octopus farm ever came to be, I would cheer for them if they managed to use their intelligence to escape and have revenge on the farmers.
6 months on from launching its 3D printed salmon alternative into supermarkets, Austrian food tech startup Revo Foods has introduced a new category in the alternative seafood sector. Its latest innovation is called the Kraken, inspired by octopus, and it's produced using mycoprotein and 3D printed technology. These vegan octopus tentacles are a global first and limited edition drop born out of the startup's ongoing crowdfunding campaign,
wow,
which has already brought in 1.1 million euros of its maximum 1.5 million target. The inspiration to create the Kraken came from the fact there are no existing alternatives, as well as its super unique appearance. Yeah, no, it has, it's like a curly tentacle. It's really fun.
I would try it. It's ethical. I'd give it a try. I'm sure it would be gross, but I'll give it a try.
Well, you know, you think about like octopus, the only time I've really like enjoyed octopus is like octopus sushi.
And when you lived in Japan?
When I ate sushi. Back like when I wasn't vegan.
You had it here or in Japan?
I had it here and Japan.
Wow.
I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't eat. Yeah, talk. Oh, also, there's.
Can you say something in Japanese?
Shin Hasubai!
What does it mean?
Sold in stores. Do you want to continue with this podcast in Japanese? Nihongo dake?
So desu ka.
Wasuremashita. Nihongo wasuremashita. So I said I forgot my Japanese.
Oh, okay.
I took Japanese in college, and then I did some traveling in Japan. So I learned a little Japanese. One of my favorite Japanese like street foods is called takoyaki, and I've made vegan versions of it. And instead of using octopus, I used king oyster mushrooms, which I feel like king oyster mushrooms is a really good like a squid and octopus replacement.
No way.
And takoyaki is actually quite delicious, and it's like kind of a. I mean, how do we explain takoyaki to someone who's never had takoyaki before? It's like a savory pancake, like a little puff, and inside the puff is a little chunk of octopus or what I made
king oysterpus
king oyster mushroom, And then there's this kind of sweet sauce, kind of similar to teriyaki sauce. It's kind of thing where if you go to like subway stations, they're making it. It's like a little grab and go thing. It's like a cheap thing. I remember when I was in Japan years ago.
It's like an empanada.
It'd be $1 or $2 mm-hmm. or $3. I guess maybe it's haku-en, 100 yen. Mm-hmm. You know, but now it's probably maybe 300 to 500 yen in Japan. You know, $3 to $5. And you would get it, and it's like these little balls, and they'd give you a little toothpick. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a chopstick, but you just take a little toothpick and you'd eat it. And it usually would have shaved bonita on top of it. I don't think I used any replacement for the bonito, but I did. But it's usually king oyster mushroom chunks, like kind of a doughy pancake body, a takoyaki sauce, which is kind of a similar to like maybe ebi sauce or
eel sauce.
Yeah, eel sauce, or there's no eel in eel sauce.
I know.
Or and then also some vegan kewpie mayo, and takoyaki is really awesome. In fact, I'll make it again sometime.
Sounds great. I love fun street food.
I actually have a takoyaki pan, which is a steel pan that has round indentations that you can
can shape them.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. So yeah, but every time I talk about it, I crave it. I wanted to talk about IKEA.
The new hot dog?
Okay. So IKEA has a bunch of vegan options. Go ahead, eat it.
I'm just, this thing is like, it's burning a hole in my pocket. I need to eat these.
It's okay, I'll cut it
out.
Just extra editing. Oh. Okay, so there's a little bit of a controversy behind the IKEA hot dog. And it really belays us as cheapskate vegans. Okay, first of all, so IKEA came up with a new hot dog.
It looks really good in the video.
It's called the plant dog.
Oh, I want to try it.
And it's made of rice protein, onions, apple, and seasoning.
So and it costs almost nothing. It's like obviously a loss leader to get you in the door.
It's 70 cents.
It's free.
So, and it looks like a traditional hot dog. And then they have the veggie dog, which is the one that has like kale, quinoa, and all sorts of...
Also yummy.
Yeah, which...
Well, I don't know.
And that one is actually cheaper. That's 65 cents.
I want them both.
What's cool is those two dogs are cheaper than the animal dog, which is 75 cents.
That's how it should be. Incentivize the ethical choice.
So apparently IKEA... They have certain sustainability goals... And basically, they want to have 50% plant-based food by 2025.
Oh, it's not like 1,000 years away. Good job.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know, those Northern Europeans are just a little more enlightened than we are.
And not only that, you know, you go to IKEA, and it's kind of an enlightened store. You know, it just things are just make more sense. Things are just much more organized. It's there's something fun about the store too. They have all sorts of like themed stuffed animals, and I mean, I don't know. They had animals in space. All the animals had little space
That's
helmets.
Cute.
But the real controversy, and this is something that we're dealing with. I mean, especially someone like me who deals with it, is they don't source their buns from the same place. So some of the buns at some of the IKEAs have egg in them.
No, why?
And then some of them don't. And then you have to be extremely annoying. You know that the people behind the counter do not want to deal with someone like me.
Put a sign up that just says these buns are or are not vegan.
They're afraid because of allergens and lawsuits and all sorts of things.
Is this just a temporary supply chain issue? Like, it seems obvious that they shouldn't have eggs in the vegan hot dog.
They're like the most awful buns anyways. You bring your own buns, so you don't have to deal
with them. BYOB. Ha ha.
Honestly, it's a good dog.
The bun you had was vegan.
I made a big hassle, and I made them show me the ingredients, And it was kind of a thing where I put out a lot of people. There were a lot of people waiting. Right. A lot of people pissed off at me.
No, this is, if everybody does this, it'll go up the chain of command in IKEA, and they'll be like, wait a second. It seems so obvious to give the vegan dog a vegan bun. Durr.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just get your dogs without the bun. I mean, it's kind of depressing.
No, why? I mean, this is a, they could change this, like, very easily.
And the IKEA that I went to, they actually charged extra for the cabbage and the crunchy onions toppings. It was 25 cents more.
Worth every penny.
But I've heard that some IKEAs have like an endless bar of them. Okay, so the three things I saw, the frozen things that I saw at IKEA, I saw the meatballs, the veggie dogs. Supposedly they have some kind of plant-based chicken that I did not see. Mm-hmm. Then they had this, like these veggie balls that maybe on similar to the vegan hot dogs or the veggie dogs. Okay, so the plant dog, which is their new more similar hot dog experience. They have the veggie dog, which is the one that's all smashed up vegetables. Then they have these plant balls. But the thing that kind of excited me was this frozen dinner that they had.
Oh, a TV dinner?
And
when did you start eating at IKEA for all my meals?
It's this frozen dinner. It had this kind of Swedish name. It's made in Sweden. It was the Swedish meatballs, potatoes.
Oh, wow.
Broccoli.
Wow.
And what was the other thing? Mashed potatoes and gravy.
All vegan.
Well, it's all plant-based. I mean, there might be some allergens because it seemed like may contain.
How much is it?
It's $6.49.
Okay.
It's a very hearty meal.
Oh, good quantity?
Not just this. Okay. This is the most accurate meal I've ever seen that looks just like the picture on the box.
Oh, wow. It's what you described sounds like one of those, like, Hungry Man Salisbury steak dinners, you know, like,
yeah, but those are usually embarrassing. Yeah. You open them up and it's just like a bunch of weird mush. I remember you open them up and they have like the, what if they had some kind of cranberry thing?
Yeah. Do they go out of business? Hungry Man Salisbury steak dinner?
No, it's like Stouffer's. It's like a big chain. I'm sure they still make them.
Yeah.
But anyway, this frozen dinner is a cult classic.
Oh, really? It's been around for a while.
I'll show you some video.
I
actually made a video. It is, well, first of all, the mashed potatoes are creamy and delicious.
Wow.
The gravy has a nice flavor. The meatballs are great. They're IKEA meatballs. The broccoli, I mean, it's just there. I mean, it's frozen dinner broccoli, but it was still a little more crunchy than you would expect from frozen broccoli. So this was like a really good meal, and it was like very impressive. I think it's like one of the best frozen dinner meals I've ever had in my life.
I want to go to IKEA. I don't even have any need for furniture. So funny. It's like clearly a loss leader to get you in, but the thing that excites me the most about this is on a policy basis, we've already like established that majority of people will not make the ethical choice if it doesn't like make sense to their pocketbooks. So pricing the vegan version lower than the meat version is like kind of the only thing you can do to get more widespread adoption of plant-based foods. Like Blue Bottle Coffee, which is a frou-frou fancy place, their default milk is oat milk, and anything else costs more. Because oat milk is the more sustainable choice than like almond milk, which uses too much water, or cow milk, you know.
Yeah, you get to a point where it's like, okay, is that, you know, where do you get to a point where it's greenwashing and they're promoting this and because they want to look sustainable?
Well, just the fact, you know, this is part of the reason we've had so much trouble getting people to eat like Impossible and Beyond Meat. It's that vegan tax. So if you do an inverse vegan tax, a vegan subsidy, whatever, you're going to have a lot of more borderline people making the right decision because it aligns with their self-interest rather than goes against it.
Yeah, I do think that the IKEA way is interesting too, because there's something very playful and fun mm-hmm. about the choices. Like their cheapest hot dog is that veggie dog, which is that weird dog with all the sort of, you see all the little vegetables and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it kind of looks fun. It looks more fun than the other.
It's colorful, eye catching.
The thing that IKEA needs to do is they need to eliminate their animal products.
Yeah, that would be great.
100% sustainable.
And hopefully that's the next step. We'll see.
Or less, more sustainable. But you think about like IKEA, they're probably guilty of like so much landfill garbage.
Well, sure. I mean, it is more like sort of more disposable-ish mass market. I'm not singing the praises of IKEA till the end of time. I just want to try this food. Yeah, it's definitely like sort of disposable furniture that people buy and throw away, like the equivalent of fast fashion in furniture form.
Yes, but...
but maybe the way it's produced is more ethical than fast fashion. I don't know.
But that frozen dinner is fire, I have to admit.
And I want to try it.
It blew me away.
Sure.